Want to learn how to be an entrepreneur?
You are dedicated and devoted to a life of developing new ideas and innovations, willing to take calculated career risks, achieving independent wealth and success. Then you are ready to experience the entrepreneur effect. We'll highlight opportunities for entrepreneurs in digital marketing through interesting, practical, and thought-provoking interviews and monologues. Increase your income and be your own boss by listening to The Entrepreneur Effect. Please welcome your host, a 25-year veteran in sales, management, and business development, Dush Ramachandran.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Entrepreneur Effect. I'm Dush Ramachandran. My guest today is Matt Holleran, who is the general partner at Cloud Apps Capital Partners. Matt is a he helps people get financing for their companies and helps executives and CEOs who have had the opportunity to exit, helps them understand what types of businesses they should be investing in and what the challenges are. Matt, welcome.
Thank you.
Very good. So tell us a little bit about Cloud Apps Capital Partners. What do you do in more detail than I just described? And why would this be of interest to somebody who's just, you know, who's in a small business trying to raise financing?
Capital Partners is a venture capital firm that invests in global market leaders in the cloud business application market. And in particular, we focus on a stage we refer to as the classic Series A financing, when entrepreneurs might have two people and no product, or a small group of people and starting to see customers get traction with their business application. And we will lead financings that might be $4 or $10 million and take a board seat and help them along their way, either in introducing them for partnerships or to other executives or to other investors. So that's what Cloud Apps Capital Partners does, is we're a focused firm in the cloud business application market at the classic Series A stage.
Okay.
As far as what entrepreneurs who may be listening, as they think about if they are cloud business application companies, if they think about what's the right way to build their business, should they take on capital or not, and what kinds of partners should they engage, should they do so, we think that that this might be a useful dialogue for them.
Okay. So just let's drill a little bit deeper into that. So you described Cloud Apps Capital Partners as a venture capital company that invests primarily in cloud apps companies. Is that exclusive, or do you invest in other types of technologies other than cloud apps?
We're focused on the global cloud business application market, and we won't make investments in consumer or healthcare or semiconductor or anything else. We're glad there are other firms that focus in those areas, but we think this is one of the most exciting global markets that there is, and we think we have some unique capabilities that help us to see good opportunities and help entrepreneurs build great category-leading businesses.
Okay, great. Now, in picking companies that you would choose to invest in, this is probably uppermost in the minds of many of our listeners, which is, what do you look for when you invest in a company?
Well, first is in the business application market, great companies, companies like Workday, not in our portfolio, but they support the human resources executive and finance executives all over the world, or Salesforce.com, where I was an executive long ago, where they really support the vice president of sales. But we look for business titles, directors, managers, vice presidents, that a business application company can really build their business around to make them successful. And as a result, that's the number one thing we look for, is what's the title these businesses are building their businesses around. The second thing we look for is what's the global scale of that market opportunity. Now, there are some market opportunities that should take on venture capital, and there are some that may not be big enough for venture capital, but they're still exceptional businesses. But we want to make sure that the category itself is large enough on a global scale to potentially be a public global category leader at some point. And then the third thing we look for is the domain expertise of the founders. Have they lived the problem on the other side? Have they built applications to serve this executive before? But really have to have the domain expertise in the problem and on the product. And then we can help them to supplement with other executives in other areas. But those are the three things that, you know, that we look for. And we would encourage entrepreneurs on the phone who are listening is if you have a venture scale, global market opportunity, it's a very good idea to engage venture capital. If you don't, you can still build an exceptional business, but it may not be a good idea to work with the venture community.
Okay. And so for someone that's developing a cloud app that has global potential, and they are solving a problem that they themselves have experienced, and this in some way has, you know, great potential. You know, you always hear stories, especially entrepreneurs are often, you know, told stories about how when they invited venture capital firms to come invest in them and help them, they got what is popularly known in the industry as an early haircut, where, you know, they were significantly diluted. They lost the control, decision-making control and creative control over their companies. And, you know, you hear horror stories. Obviously, not every story ends that way. There are many, many happy endings. What would you suggest that entrepreneurs and founders do to protect themselves from getting an early haircut?
Well, I think first is if you do have a global market opportunity for which there could or should be a publicly traded company, the entrepreneurs who we have worked with, they view this as an opportunity to get the right amount of capital, to build a great product, to engage with the right and hire the right teams, and as a result, have the right sorts of support at the board level that can help them to build a great business over a many-year period, and then later bring on more investors and more investors. So I think the first point comes back to, do you have a global category that you should be building potentially a public company for and around? And if that's the case, you know, these are all big fences, and there's a lot of brushes. And so the thinking really becomes, what's the best way to build a great company versus the control elements of what you've described? And second is, again, you know, to the extent to which you are building for a right title to build a big business globally, you want to think about this and says, hey, how do I grow this pie and be perhaps less concerned about the dilution that you're taking on? Because not only are you taking on the right amount of capital in a classic Series A financing, whether or not that's $5 million or somewhere thereabouts, you're also getting a network that you can take advantage of. I think the issues that you just described sometimes happen and more frequently happen when it isn't a venture-scale market opportunity. And it can still be a fabulous business and a great business, but the entrepreneurs might want to figure out how to bootstrap that business and or how to work with other capital sources than venture.
Okay. That makes sense. Now, for entrepreneurs, now we only have a minute in this segment, so we'll pick up the answer to this. But one of the questions I would like to ask you after we break from this segment is, for entrepreneurs looking to, you know, they're in the stage where they've built, you know, a solution, their customers are gaining traction, they're getting some positive feedback for their solution, and they think they might be right for a venture financing round. What's the best way that an entrepreneur can decide for himself whether they are right for venture capital or not? Would you suggest sort of a self-test of some kind that an entrepreneur can submit to and say, okay, I'll answer these questions, and, you know, if the answer comes out this way, then I'm not right, or my business is not ready. If it comes out that way, then yes, I should go seek financing right away. So I'll let you kind of ponder that question for a second. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Matt Halloran. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for more of the Entrepreneur Effect when we return.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S.
WebmasterRadio.fm reaches them all
with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. We can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing. Thanks to an exclusive private offer available for a very limited number of companies. But you must act fast. Email brasco@wmr.fm and get your message delivered now.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak.
You are experiencing the Entrepreneur Effect, only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here's Dush Ramachandran.
And welcome back. This is Dush Ramachandran with Entrepreneur Effect. My guest today is Matt Holleran, who is general partner at Cloud Apps Capital Partners. So, Matt, before the break, we were talking about what types of businesses and what types of business owners and entrepreneurs and founders are in the right space for venture financing, and why in some cases they might be better suited to seek another source of finance rather than for venture. So one of the questions that a lot of our listeners are probably thinking about right now is, how do I know if I'm right? How do I know if my business is right for venture financing, or should I seek some other type of financing? So what would your advice be in that situation?
Yeah, Cloud Apps Capital Partners' advice would be, in the cloud business application market, if you believe you have a meaningful title that you can be the dominant provider for and really serve that title well, and if you believe that the category itself could be $2 billion of annual recurring revenue or more on a global scale, and last, personally, if your goal is to build a public company and to be the market and category leader, and knowing that may take anywhere from 6 to 12 years from now, but if those three questions are yes, then you should speak to venture capitalists and move down the path on venture capital. If those three answer to any of those three questions is no, we would suggest that you consider bootstrapping, where you can have great businesses that are recurring revenue businesses that pay dividends out over many years, or there are some other creative sources of capital that you may be able to take advantage of. But you want to answer those three questions, and if you do, and you answer those positively, you should connect with the venture community.
Okay, that's good advice. But the question that often comes up is, I understand the opportunity for, several billion dollars of recurring revenue annually. But, I also see companies like Twitter that are, currently valued very well. Companies like LinkedIn that are public. They still haven't quite figured out a revenue model. They're serving a purpose. It's huge. It's global. A lot of people use it. But the revenue model is still quite uncertain. So let's say I'm the founder of the next Instagram. And yes, I got to if I was the founder of the last Instagram, then I got to sell it to Facebook for a lot of money without really, you know, generating a lot of revenues and making a lot of profits. But wouldn't I be right in believing that my baby is going to be the next beautiful Instagram, and I don't really need to be profitable or don't really need to have a revenue model?
Yeah, and Cloud Apps Capital Partners, we focus in the cloud business application market. So I'm not qualified to comment on Instagram or Twitter, but I am qualified to comment on LinkedIn as an example that you've just described.
Sure.
And so as we think about, you know, the recurring revenue nature of the cloud business application market, an entrepreneur wants to know that their total available market, if everyone was to buy that could buy, is in excess of $2 billion. Their company, as a result, may have a market share that's less than that, but that's really what you want to think of as the minimum threshold. In the case of LinkedIn, LinkedIn themselves, they have a subscription business for individuals. They have a subscription businesses for companies who are, they have subscription businesses for recruiters. They have subscription businesses for salespeople. And they also have a targeted ad and job posting board business. But their business itself has you know, four or five very good revenue engines that they built over time. And much of that is a recurring revenue business that we've just described. So that's more in the line of what it is that we're speaking to today. And how can you see your way to a global, totally available market opportunity of $2 billion or more, of which your market percentage, and as a result, your recurring revenue and revenue will be less. But I think LinkedIn is a good example of a company that certainly has that kind of global scale opportunity going in.
Okay, that makes sense. So now in terms of companies that do take on venture financing and, you know, embark down the path of, you know, Series A and then on to Series B, C, and so on until they eventually either get acquired or do an IPO and get an exit that way. What are some of the most common pitfalls that you've seen that founders fall into? What are some of the major mistakes that founders make along their journey that might serve as a cautionary tale to founders and, you know, business owners that are listening to this conversation right now?
Yeah, for cloud business application entrepreneurs, what we'd encourage them to think through is, you know, count backwards from when that initial public offering might come, again, 6 or 10 years from now, and think of, you know, building a great business along the way. And in the cloud business application market, you'll see there's probably about approximately 50 public cloud companies, many of which have market capitalizations now of $1 billion or $3 billion or $5 billion or $20 billion. And so if you are in this kind of category that we've described earlier, where you have that opportunity, you want to think about, how do I build the best business I can in the most efficient and time-efficient way? And then as a result, move back from that IPO moment to really consider what's the financing that you should do early on. So to your point, some of the errors that we see folks run into is they may say, okay, I want to take $2 million from a headless syndicate of angel investors or seed investors. And in the cloud business application market, that's just not enough. These are meaty business applications that executives need to have their whole teams rely on and to support. You need to sell them, you need to service them. And in general, these companies require the right domain expertise in product and in sales and service to get these businesses running. So when they run the math, they usually will land on about a $5 million number of the amount of capital they need to hire the right people to get past the goalposts for when a larger firm might want to invest 10 or 15 million. And so the mistake that we often see is that entrepreneur taking $2 million from a headless syndicate. It's not enough capital, it's not enough focus, and it's not enough help. What we would recommend is a classic Series A financing of $5 million that includes a handful of high value angels that might be led by a syndicate from Cloud Apps Capital Partners or another firm, where the angel investors, as a result, make sure that the company has the right amount of capital, but they can also contribute their expertise in a meaningful way. So those are some of the things we would encourage them to think about, is think backwards from a global category leading public company. What are the right ways to build the right kinds of business? And then how do you have the right amount of capital with the right syndicate participants as opposed to the headless syndicate.
Okay. And let's turn the conversation around now to some of our listeners who may have had exits from their businesses, may have some investment capital that they have access to that they would like to invest and participate and give of their experience and their wisdom in working with companies as investors. So if one of our listeners were to decide, you know, I've got say $10-15 million kicking around that's not making a great deal of money, I'd much rather, you know, be an angel investor, invest that in a portfolio of a few different companies, and, you know, use that to generate better returns. And then, you know, the additional benefit is I can leverage the experiences that I've had in helping other entrepreneurs get ahead. So for those people, you know, what's the best way they should be thinking of in terms of how they invest, where they invest, et cetera? Again, we have just a minute left in this segment. So if you would just give some thought to that, and I'll kind of flesh this out a little bit, and we'll pick it up right after the break. So basically the idea is, should people that have money to invest, should they only invest in people and companies and management teams that they know? Is there right size of a portfolio? Should you keep it to one or two companies? Should it be 5 or 10? That sort of thing. So give some thought to that, and then let's pick it up when we come back. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Matt Halloran.
Stay tuned for more of The Entrepreneur Effect when we return.
Ready to do a podcast for your business? Make that podcast elevate to enterprise level. Let WebmasterRadio.fm expedite and execute your podcast to build your brand and broaden your customer base. WebmasterRadio.fm has worked with the world's biggest tech brands, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and have worked with fast-growing brands like ShipStation and GoDaddy. Now it's your turn. Contact BRASCO at WMR.FM and rush your enterprise-level podcast into production at a very reasonable rate. Email BRASCO at WMR.FM.
It's time once again to get ready for the 35th Annual Miami Book Fair, November 11th through the 18th. Learn more at MiamiBookFair.com. Over 500 authors will be coming in from all over the world to read their books, answer questions from the audience, and sign autographs. Award-winning luminaries confirmed to attend this year include novelists like Elliot Ackerman, Robert Olin Butler, Ingrid Rojas Contreras, and Deborah Dean. Nonfiction writers like Dr. Mark Agronin, Muhammad Al-Samawi, Andrea Barnett, and Tina Brown. Celebrities like Justine Bateman, Steve Kornacki, Bill Press. These are just a few of the confirmed 500 authors scheduled to appear at the 2018 Miami Book Fair, November 11th to the 18th. Check out the full schedule of events right now at MiamiBookFair.com. That's MiamiBookFair.com.
You are experiencing The Entrepreneur Effect, only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here's Dush Ramachandran.
And welcome back. This is Dush Ramachandran with Entrepreneur Effect. My guest today is Matt Halloran, general partner at Cloud Apps Capital Partners. So Matt, before the break, we were talking about accepting venture financing and what business owners and founders ought to be thinking about. And then we turn the conversation kind of the other way around to think about people that are in the position of being able to invest. And so the question I had for you is, what should some of these people look at? How would you advise that they make the smartest investment decisions possible?
Well, I've in the cloud business application market, I have seen this many times over the last 15 years. And when I was an executive at Salesforce.com, my team started the AppExchange ISV ecosystem there. And I've known a number of Salesforce executives who have been successful angels, some unsuccessful, and they've learned a lot along the way. In the last year, I've met with dozens of cloud business application executives who've had an initial public offering or a substantial exit, and where this is a regular topic of conversation. And what we would recommend to your listeners who may be considering this is first consider a small number of investments that you think the company itself is serving a meaningful executive, is a global market opportunity, and should be a company as opposed to a product and a feature. And we can help cloud business application executives who may consider being angels to do that kind of analysis, and they can work with a firm to do so. We would encourage a smaller number, maybe put more of their capital to work inside a syndicate led by a venture firm, whether Cloud Apps Capital Partners or somebody else. And then as a result, they can leverage their expertise in this market to help the entrepreneurs in the highest value way. And they have enough capital and they have enough expertise and support around the business so that the angel can add their value, but also not be overtaxed by requests from the entrepreneurs themselves. So we've seen this unfold over 15 years and many, many times. And we would encourage them to think through, first, is this really a company that I think can be a meaningful company, as they've done first pass worth? Second, to work with a firm, ours or someone else, to help to think through whether or not this is a venture scale opportunity. And as a result, that helps to limit the request from the entrepreneur to them to the highest value things that the angel can help with beyond the capital, but to do so in categories that they generally care about. It may be people that they know, which helps a great deal to gain the conviction. It may not be. And as a result, like, we have worked with angel investors who have brought in opportunities to us, very similar to what we've just described, and they've invested in the Classic Series A syndicate. In addition, we've also brought angel investors into Classic Series A syndicates where we think they can make a big difference, and they have made a big difference for those companies. So that's a framework we would encourage your listeners to really think through, is a smaller number, maybe more significant investments where they think they can help, but where they have really gained conviction that this can be a global category-leading public company as opposed to a product or a feature, and to work with a firm to the extent to which they gain conviction in that way, and that firm can help them to gain conviction or not. And that's also appreciated by a number of potential angel investors who oftentimes are executives and have busy day jobs as well.
Sure. Okay. That makes a lot of sense, and I'm sure our listeners who are contemplating angel investments are certainly very thankful for that advice. So we have just about a couple of minutes left in this segment. And so, Matt, what are you most excited about the future? I mean, given what you've seen in the sort of cloud app space and where the space is going and what's happening, what are you most excited about?
We think that now that the whole world is online, and now, as a result, entrepreneurs who are building solutions for a meaningful executive on a global scale, they really can serve the whole world. Small, medium, large enterprise customers all over the world. And that wasn't technically possible until, you know, over the course of the last several years. So that enables titles where you can build companies around that title to grow. And that means great applications for those end customers and those end leaders, and great opportunities for entrepreneurs to really serve the globe well. And then also, large companies globally can now manage their businesses globally for the first time, have a single instance for which to manage Brazil and Russia and the United States and Canada and Australia, and can compare and contrast the right kinds of access controls globally. So that's one of the things that makes us even more excited about the next 20 years in the cloud business application market, is the global opportunity for entrepreneurs and the global opportunity for end customers, and as a result, for Cloud Apps Capital Partners and our investors.
Wonderful. That's excellent. Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us, and I'm sure our listeners enjoyed it tremendously. And if you have, you know, more information to share at some later date, please come back and see us again. It was great to have you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
The The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.